Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Red Sox front office report in an hour with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. And thank you to those who are up and watching the show on either YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. And they have the half off, half the store event going on now through Saturday. Get half off, half of everything in the store at Springer's, and visit them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where we will be next week on Lake Winnipesaukee in the Granite State for the final road show. Got an offer yesterday, I don't know if we have room, from the soon-to-be, at least from my perspective, the soon-to-be senator from New Hampshire, Scott Brown, who wanted to know if we wanted his band to play on the dive on the morning. I don't think we have room.
Oh.
We should try to get an acrobatic live performance, though, of the weekly wrap up for if we could for the final road show. That'd be a good way to send that out up at Lake Winnipesaukee.
And we can invite Craig to come join us a week from today for the front office
Craig
report.
Breslow. Yeah. Yes.
He'd love that.
Probably at a party like that, probably out of control kind of guest. But
about the amount of possible thought partners.
That'd be great. All right. Well, let's get what?
Just before we get back to the news, I just want you to know how crazy this show is in real time, because Lieutenant Bossy, you brought up the newest beneficiary for the Greg Hill Foundation this morning.
Yes.
We're over $18,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's really good.
I just went to check.
We launched a fundraiser last night for State Police Lieutenant Bossy, who was hit while working for the State Police at Revere Beach on Monday by a stolen motorcycle. And I appreciate those of you who have given already so much. And please, if you can, go to thegreghillfoundation.org and give. And we can support that family. It will be at least 3 months before he is able to put any kind of weight on his feet at all. So their home is going to require modifications. And he's a 34-year veteran when it comes to serving everybody else. And so I feel like now's the time that he needs us, and we can step up and help. So go to thegreghillfoundation.org if you would like to give. Let's get back to the rest of the news, Courtney.
Well, Greg, I don't know where you were yesterday afternoon, but I wondered if you were in the crowd, because Tanya Fernandez Anderson said goodbye to her supporters yesterday her final council hearing.
She had a little party over there for her supporters.
Yes, she did.
Good. What were they celebrating?
I think they were celebrating all of their achievements.
Yeah, I know she was talking to her staff, I saw a clip of that where she was saying, you know, even though things got a little bit shaky here, you know, you guys handled it well.
Uh-huh.
She pled guilty to federal corruption charges in April after she was accused of taking a $7,000 kickback from a relative she hired at a city hall bathroom. She officially resigns from her position on the 4th of July. Here's Tanya.
I thank you, every single one of you. You hung in there. Everyone knows that the climate got tough.
The climate got tough because you were in a bathroom taking a $7,000 kickback.
Everyone knows that the climate got tough.
You basically gave somebody a job and said, hey, I'll give you the job if you give me the money back. Like, that's not the climate getting tough. Like,
Did she not know the rules?
It's like a finder's fee.
Do people, do they think we don't understand what's going on? Some of these elected officials, You were not the victim of people who didn't agree with your politics.
Right.
But who shows up to that celebrating someone who was just pled out?
Like, It's nuts.
What yeah. a bizarre. Is yeah. this happening here, like, primarily, or is this, like, around the country?
I'm guessing.
I would imagine it's around the country.
Maybe it happens. Maybe it happens in other places. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Who doesn't want a nice $7,000 little payoff?
What is your guess when it comes to her mindset? Do you think that she does whatever? She's going to be sentenced soon. Like, do you think whether she does jail time or is at home or what? Do you think she thinks she's going to come back and be reelected? I bet she does.
Totally.
I bet she thinks it. Yeah. All right. Interesting. Okay.
We have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Sarah Jackas, a 32-year-old middle school math teacher in Florida, was arrested on Monday after she was accused of having sex in the classroom with a student during lunch at Corner Lake Middle School.
Well, no class being missed.
Yeah.
Right, right.
The now 16-year-old boy told investigators he had sex with Jackas when he was 14 between December 22nd and, December 2022 and April 2023. The victim said he would eat lunch in her classroom because they had a hard time fitting in with their classmates. Uh-huh. They then began texting until the victim's parents found out and shut that down. Uh-huh. Then Jackas used Instagram to message the student. Mm. The relationship then came to a head when Jackas' husband found out about it. That was the final straw. The school principal sent a note to parents of the school that ended saying, although I cannot discuss employee matters, please know this person will not be returning to campus pending the outcome of the investigation. Mm.
Is the husband standing by his woman?
No, I believe the husband is the reason the woman was fully caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. No more midday bones for you.
Yeah. Cape Cod Beaches announced some new rules for the 4th of July this year.
I can't believe the 4th is next week.
I know.
Like, it always happens around here. The weather gets good, then the 4th comes, and then summer's over.
Yes.
Oh.
Like, yeah. So, okay, 4th of July next week, what are they doing? Clamping down on anybody who might have fun?
Well, they noticed, we did this story last year because some Dennis beaches started implementing some new rules after years where they said there was violence and drugs and drinking or whatever. And last year, they brought down the service of police officers 75% with zero arrests on those Dennis beaches. So now they're expanding it. So now restrictions will be in place on Mayflower Beach, Chapin Memorial Beach, Bayview Beach, and West Dennis Beach, extending to surrounding areas. There will be no daily parking passes allowed on the 4th of July. Only residential, seasonal, or weekly pass holders will be permitted to enter. There will be checkpoints as you enter, a few different checkpoints as you enter the beach and as you exit. A zero tolerance policy will be in place for alcohol. Anyone caught drinking will be fined $50 and issued a citation, as well as have their drinks confiscated.
It's the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Can you not bring a cooler and a couple red Solo cups to the beach?
Clearly you can't. Too much of a headache, obviously, with traffic and now this. I'm heading to Hampton.
It's America.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're going to ruin the 4th of July.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, please.
Yeah.
I'm better than a cooler and sitting there on the beach just having some drinks.
Right, let people have some fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Since we're talking about that, there is an irrational beach fear in the news today. This story is nuts. A New Jersey lifeguard was impaled by a 6-foot umbrella pole. The report states that a wild gust of wind blew her off of her stand and into the umbrella.
Wait a second. I was assuming it was the other way around.
Correct.
Right? Where the dangerous beach umbrella, which is never secured.
Yep.
Blew into her.
Correct.
She was blown off of the lifeguard stand into the umbrella?
Correct. The 6-foot pole pierced through her left shoulder and came out of her back.
Damn. Was it Chris Robinson?
No. They had to cut the pole into pieces.
She was impaled on sprinter Chris Robinson. Hurdler Chris Robinson.
A-plus wings.
They had to cut the pole into pieces before they could even transport her to the hospital.
She okay?
She's going to be okay.
She's going to be okay. Wow. God.
She's very lucky.
It's nuts.
Yeah. Right? And we have the dumbest of the day.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
All right, from time to time on this show, we examine what has occurred and determine that it may have been the dumbest of the day yesterday. Curtis, what happened?
Well, this is designed for me, Greg, because I don't know if you know this. I lived in England for 2 years.
Yeah.
And there is a cop in my former place of residence that is in hot water for doing what every guy can admit is the greatest trick in the world.
Okay.
You go up to a kid, you say, pull my finger, right. Boom, you toot.
Right.
It's just like clockwork.
Yep, the old pull my finger.
Well, there's a gentleman who is an officer in England, and he told a female coworker to pull his finger.
Okay.
She knew what this guy was up to and refused. Uh-huh. Undeterred, the officer stepped up on his toes, got within 6 inches of her face, and farted.
No.
Six inches of her face?
Yeah. That's called half a Robinson.
Oof.
So she
didn't pull the finger.
No.
And then he turned around just inches away and let one fly.
Right. And okay. This is a fart that has lingered because the incident occurred in 2021.
Mm.
But the disciplinary hearing has yet to be resolved. So I don't know what the answer is here, but that seems like 4 years.
What could be more egregious? What could be more misleading?
That's a real problem. I don't know if he should lose his job over.
No, he probably should, but you got to be careful nowadays.
He's trying to have fun, though. Right. I mean, he's trying to lighten the mood of the workplace.
Right. People
a lot of stress when you're in law enforcement.
It got very sense, like the lady and her girlfriend were out shopping, and the guy farted on her.
She
went to TikTok, and she was absolutely bawling off, crying.
Oh, because the guy farted on her?
Yeah.
By accident? Or
I think they were might have been some words, and rather than him saying something.
I mean, sometimes you don't even know.
No, I think he knew.
Like one slips out, you have no idea.
Oh, she was in tears. She felt like she was assaulted.
Boys are gross.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Right, because you guys never fart.
Well, we don't do it on purpose.
Yes, you do.
Farts are always funny.
Are you telling me that a group of women hanging around, you don't, like, if you have to toot, one of them doesn't do it and you all laugh about it?
No, if somebody toots, it's usually because they're laughing too hard, and then all of a sudden one, and then it's like they're so embarrassed after.
Did you guys play the doorknob game? If somebody farted, yelled doorknob, and then you punched that person until he got to the door.
Yes,
and then we played though. But I feel like you women nowadays, though, when you get together, you kind of get a little nasty.
Not really.
I feel like you might not play the finger game, but you might be like, ooh, girl, those tacos got my stomach rumbling.
Sorry, ladies. Thought it was going to be silent but deadly.
Right.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, wow. So he may lose his job over that.
Yeah.
Seems egregious.
Yes.
All right. Is that it?
That's it for the
news. All right. That is the news with Courtney. End of the show today. We are on our way to beautiful Cape Ann and to roadshow number 7. Tonight, pregame with Mike Milbury at My Place by the Sea. Get there early. I think we're kicking it off at 7:30, but there's room, but there's not a ton of room. So get there early tonight, and then tomorrow morning, the Beauport Hotel is where we will be from 6 to 10, and I have prepared a little truth or fraudulence, the Gloucester edition for Wiggy and you tomorrow morning, guest leads, roadshow merch, which we are rolling through, all of that stuff tomorrow morning in Gloucester. And that roadshow tomorrow morning is brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller Time, New England. And here now with what is trending is Courtney.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox dropped their third and final with the Angels after jumping out with a 2-0 lead in the first. Final score was 5-2. Richard Fitz went 4 innings, giving up 2 runs on 4 hits while striking out 6. Alex Cora said they need to be better offensively. Here he is from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
You know, you saw the first inning. We put good at-bats. We got deep into counts, and then, you know, Trevor put a good swing on it. But, you know, we've seen that game before, and we had to be better offensively. And this happened since early in the season. You know, we score early, and then the starters hang out till the 6th, the 7th, you know, and then they go to the bullpen, and that's how it works.
Doesn't he sound like checked out, like just with everything.
I mean, he has sort of sounded checked out. We were going over this earlier this morning and whether he wants to be here long term or not. I mean, I don't know what result season wise leads to either he or Breslow being gone, Curtis. I mean, is it they finished last four of the last five seasons, and that hasn't led to Alex Cora being gone. I mean, they change GMs or chief baseball officers or whatever.
I think this is it, though, because I think it's more Cora being gone. Because if you're the Red Sox, you have to be looking at it like there's no way we can have two GMs that we have to blow out of here because Cora and them are not on the same page.
Right, because if you fire Breslow, then the new GM, whoever it is, will again be a guy that Cora's working for that didn't hire him.
Right.
And also, you had enough trouble finding somebody who wanted that job anyway.
Right.
And so, yeah. And also, Breslow probably, he'll never say it, but he probably wants his own guy as a manager.
He definitely does, because that's the biggest.
Do you think Breslow's known around the offices at Fenway as Silent but Deadly?
SBD?
But, I mean, he kind of said it last week or the week before with us, where we asked about the analytics and the decisions that Alex Cora gets to make. And he said, well, you know, we give him all the information and then the decision is on him. But is the decision really on him, or do they put the slap the numbers down in front of him and go, here's what you ought to do?
Isn't that the most important relationship in all of sports? The GM head coach. And if those guys are not on the same page, it is always destined to fail.
Yeah, you're always on borrowed time. Yeah, even if it's successful, like they're not working together. They're
right.
Not
He's part not of- my guy. Yep. He doesn't think the way I think. He doesn't. Even if we have disagreements, at the end of the day, we're kind of all on the same page. That's why I think that it's probably more Cora this go round, and then let Breslow go out and find the guy he wants. Craig.
Yeah.
Well, Nissan is here to help you save this summer with lower MSRPs on Rogue and Pathfinder. The possibilities are endless. Visit your local dealer today. The guy's off tonight before returning to Fenway to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. Cooper Flagg is headed to Dallas. The Maine native was the number one overall pick last night in the 2025 NBA draft. The Celtics took forward Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid with their number 28 pick. And the Bruins are showing off their new identity with refreshed logos and uniforms. They're looking at the future, but focusing on the past as well. So a little bit of both. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Thinking chicken for dinner? Think Shaw's and Star Market. Right now, pick up Value Pack Signature Farms chicken drumsticks, thighs, or leg quarters bone-in for just 97 cents a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to two per customer, short on time, order pickup or delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow coming up in one half an hour at 9, and a lot to talk about. Red Sox, as I mentioned earlier, Red Sox had dragged me back in. It was not that long ago that they swept the New York Yankees, and I and many others were very excited, and now I am out. This is a series in which you're playing an inferior team and should be able to win the series, should be able to win a game in the series, and you are unable to do so. So we will talk to Craig Breslow about that coming up. This is Bob from Warwick, Rhode Island. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Greg.
What's up?
First of all, I want to let you know that I hate the Red Sox.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Yep. Any team that beats the Red Sox is number one in my book.
Okay.
including the and definitely the Yankees.
Okay, so you're a Yankees fan?
All right.
Well, I really hate the Red Sox. I don't care who beats them. So, in other words, Cora's pathetic. He won the World Series in 2018. Anybody could have won. Okay. He won the World Series in 2018. Uh-huh. Anybody could have won that with that team.
Right.
Cora's pathetic. His brother, Joey Cora, is 10 times the ball player that Cora ever thought of being.
Okay.
John Henry never should have signed him on a three-year contract last year. He's not going to quit. He doesn't give a damn. He's going to get paid if he doesn't resign for the next year and a half.
Well,
but I'm glad about that because I'm glad about that.
Nobody said he's going to quit. Yeah. I mean, obviously he wouldn't quit.
I don't think you can assume that Alex Cora wants to be here going forward. Based on his argument may be that they haven't given him the guys to win with, and
he can't do that now. He can't do that no more. Like that narrative went out the window this year. Like, you gave him everything you asked for. You had Bregman. You got your hog of a pitcher. Like, you've done everything that, you know, we were asking you to do before the season.
Oink, oink.
And I don't think that's an excuse now where you could be like, because before Bregman got hurt, you stunk. Before you traded Devers, you stunk. Like, so before Casas got hurt, you stunk. So
you were getting back into it before you traded Devers. Like,
yeah, you had a little stretch where you went on that stretch and you won 7 of 10 games or whatever the hell it was.
Swept the Yankees at home.
Right.
Fenway was going nuts.
Right, but that was
Devers,
like,
hit a dinger that game.
But that wasn't who you were. Like,
I'm not excusing anything. It's
right.
Just the decision to trade Devers when they did had everything to do with Devers getting to a point where a team was comfortable eating the entire contract. That's why it was done then, because otherwise there is no rush. You want to see what Bregman is in some capacity, at least see him in Worcester on the way back to the field if you actually still thought this was a season you would contend in.
Well, I agree. Go ahead, Courtney.
The hardest part is that you'll never know what they could have been, because they did hit a hot streak right then. Then they trade him and things fall off. And yes, they won, what, 2 games after Raffy left and everybody, that's when Greg got dragged back in.
You want a series.
But you want a series. But at the same time, the time in which they traded him.
Yep.
There was before, right before that, and then after. And after, they got way, way worse.
Right,
and
but
that's
you stunk before that.
But they seemed like they had figured it out. Seemed like maybe they had squashed any beef that was in that clubhouse, that maybe Raffy was, you know, figuring out his spot on that team, and they had figured it out, and that guys were starting to play their full potential, the ones that they had that were healthy. And after, you fall back off again. So who knows if they don't trade Raffy at that point, if they could have kept that momentum going.
See, I think they knew, and this is why we talked about it, like, they knew the team that they are. I think, who was it that said it? Was it Dennis Green, the legendary football coach, who said, we are who we thought they, you know, we are, something along
those
lines?
We are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Right, so, like, I think before the trade, they knew they were a below 500 baseball club. And I think after the trade, they know they're a below 500 baseball club.
I think it's the opposite. I think they thought they overachieved to that point, that Devers was hurting the development of the young players, and that absent Devers, the lineup flexibility they would have, the ability to add more at the deadline because they would have the cash left over, they could be a better team. I think they thought that.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
I mean, I think looking back at the offseason, and this is on Craig Breslow, I believe, not on Alex Cora, you thought that the moves they made would significantly improve the baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Garrett Crochet, great move. Can't say anything about it. Bregman, I thought, was a great move, and I think it remains one. You can't you didn't know he was going to be hurt, and now he's not going to be back until after the All-Star break. So,
so you could say both Breslow and Cora had good off-season moves.
But Walker Buehler, that's been a miserable failure.
Right.
You know, guys that you thought from a bullpen perspective, whether it was getting Liam Hendricks back or
Chapman's, you know, been good. He's
A-plus.
Like your only
Chapman is
A plus
is an A plus move. Right. And that is Craig Breslow.
But here's who they were before the first Yankee series where they won that series. They were they had just lost the series to the Angels, and they were 30-34. Then they went on that little bit of that run where they won the series against the Yankees, and then they won the series against the Rays, and then the sweep, and then Seattle. But I think that they're coming back down to earth on what this team is, and that's the your starting pitcher. Other than Crochet, you don't know what you're going to get. You might get some games where you get a bunch of runs. You might get some games where you get two runs. Like, this is who you are, and I think that they realize that. And I agree with you, Curtis. They probably could have waited to trade Devers, but I think they got to the point where they were like, you know what? We might as well just rip the Band-Aid off.
He didn't text Poppy back.
Yeah, well, for whatever reason.
But don't you think that there could be a momentum shift in the what they could have gained from that Yankees series was completely thrown off because then they were getting asked about Rafael Devers once again.
So then what happened after the Seattle Mariners series where they took they won that series and then they played
the Giants and Rafi Devers.
Right. So what was the thing that changed that you lost whatever the momentum was from the Seattle series to the Giants series and then now to where you are?
Well, I think the clubhouse got bad again. I think they're
well,
all
you can't have it both ways. Like, you can't say the clubhouse needed to remove Devers and everybody was feeling great, and then they hit a little bit of a patch and said, oh, the reason why they hit this patch is because...
Well, I don't think that Rafi was a issue in the clubhouse. I'm never going to believe that. That's never going to be something that I believe. I don't think that he had any impact on the younger players. I don't think anybody cared that he was, you know, fighting with the front office. I truly don't believe that.
So I guess the question is then, do you believe trading Devers affected this team negatively,
yes,
which is leading them to this,
yes,
slump?
You think it did mentally or baseball-wise?
Both.
They got
worse on the field, and then they also, all these players then had to be asked about, can you believe that they traded Rafael Devers, and they're getting asked about it over and over again once again?
I mean, I just, like, they're Major League Baseball players. Like
why would Rafael Devers hurt them in the first place?
The 978 text, which says he was protecting, you know, you have Devers in that lineup, and he's protecting everybody else when it comes to hitting. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you're playing Major League Baseball. Hit the baseball. Like,
so then you don't think that Rafi hurt the younger players or hurt anything in the clubhouse because they're Major League players and they're not affected?
Yeah, I think maybe mentally. My issue with him was he was not a team guy. And eventually, when you have all your eggs in one basket, 30 million of them, you're going to have a problem with a guy who's not willing to help out here or there. But...
I don't get that. Okay, so he's not willing to help out here or there, but now you have lots of roster flexibility to play a bunch of guys that can't hit their weight. Like, I just...
But
to
wasn't
trade
that
Devers
the thing
at that point is so... It's just so dumb on its face that people defended it. You finally get it turned around. You sweep the Yankees at home. People are like, wow, we have a season now. And then it's trade Devers because... He won't acquiesce, and he and Breslow, it's untenable with the front office. He's not texting David Ortiz. And now you're sitting here. We're about to hit July. I just got an email from the Red Sox promoting ticket sales over the weekend. You can get 12 seats together anywhere in the park on a gorgeous weekend before 4th of July, and you ended your season before the trade deadline.
Well,
that's what they did. They quit.
I thought the thing was, by him not being a team player, you couldn't have roster flexibility. You couldn't do things that you wanted to do. That's what everybody was
right. And now you have
screaming
that
down my face,
yeah,
about that,
yeah,
when I was like, just leave him at the... No, you can't do this if you leave me. And so what they did is they must have got to a point where they could not deal with him not being a team player.
This is Art from Walpole. What's up, Art?
Hey, guys. I think we're overlooking the obvious with the Red Sox failure this year so far. Tristan Casas
was supposed to be a massive piece of this team. Gone. Bregman gets hurt prime time during the beginning of the season. Gone. The saviors, Roman Anthony, the can't-miss rookie, has been a disaster. Mayer has been mezza-mezza. So nothing has gone really right with those four pieces. And Campbell has been ended up being a real, real bad situation, too, the other rookie. So, guys, it's been a real bad, it's a bunch of bad things, bad luck with injuries. And the rookies have let them down massively. I think they would count on some of these rookies to be vital rejuvenation pieces when everything else happened. Nothing has gone right in that regard.
So are you willing to accept that as an excuse, the injury excuse?
Absolutely. A very significant part. I mean, Casas was supposed to be a big part, Greg.
Yeah.
A big, big part. And then Bregman, your best all-around player, has been hurt the last 5-6 weeks. I think that's a big, big problem.
Yeah, and Giancarlo Stanton's out, and the Yankees' best pitcher, Gerrit Cole, out for the year. How are they doing?
Well, so listen, I'm not saying there aren't other problems, but
every team has injuries. This team sucks because they're poorly put together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, possibly, but those injuries have been a massive contributor to problems.
But who could have foreseen Tristan Casas, who was basically built the house in Worcester, how you would rely on him for an entire season is on you.
Right.
He's not exactly Cal Ripken Jr. out there.
Because prior to this year, he only played in, what, how many games last year?
Why do we give this ownership excuses? Like, well, no, why?
He only played in so many games because he refused to come back from his nagging
rib injury, right, whatever the hell it was.
That felt like he was being stabbed. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
I have to put it, like I said, I have to put it on the player's plate and Alex Cora's plate. The front office ownership group, you can argue, you can be upset about trading Devers when they traded him. They could have held on to him, whatever. You can get me to agree on that point. But you can't tell me going into the season they didn't do everything that we wanted them to do. They did that in the... And you as a manager weren't able to get the best out of the guys that they gave you.
All right. Well, we will talk to Craig Breslow about many of these things coming up in about 20 minutes. Red Sox front office report. Can we open the WEEI weather window up and get a forecast in advance of Roadshow number 7? Curtis, if you could poke your head outside and tell us what it's like now and what it's going to be like later in Rockport and tomorrow in Gloucester.
Turn my mic on. Hello, good morning. I just poked my head outside and I always forget to turn the mic on. Here we go. In Rockport tomorrow, well, tonight in Rockport at my place by the sea, it will be cloudy skies, mid-60s, beautiful, nice. Okay. Temperate evening in Gloucester tomorrow morning. It's going to be 66 degrees when we are on the air at the Beauport Hotel, the fabulous. I mean, I would argue maybe one of the nicest hotels in the region for our broadcast tomorrow. The bar area may not be prepared for the clientele that we bring, but I don't know if they've ever heard of a man booting in his hands, but we'll see. Back here, it feels like 63 in downtown Boston, approaching 80 degrees later today.
All right, you can get a whole house full of windows installed for $99 a month from Window World of Boston. Go to windowworldofboston.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, will join us in about 10 minutes. This is Rich. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to talk about the Red Sox and the salary or the their payroll. And so Kurz is right. The Red Sox could spend much more money. But all politics aside, the MLB is set up sort of like a socialistic government. You know, they share local revenues. They share the national TV revenues, and there's really only five teams above the luxury tax this year. So Curtis is right. If you spend money, you're in the playoffs. And the top five teams that spent the most money that are above the luxury tax are currently in the playoffs. The bottom five that's spending less than $100 million is only one team currently in the playoffs, and that's Tampa Bay. But my point is that for John Henry to spend money, I mean, there's no benefit besides them winning a championship because the revenue is shared. There's no incentive. Yeah. And so it's tough for the owners. I can understand their part because they're like, why am I subsidizing all these other teams that aren't spending money and they're not, their payroll's under $100 million? So you kind of have to look at the guidelines that the teams are set up as within the MLB. Gregory.
Rich, it is when looking at it from a business model point of view, you do have to make it clear that this team has generally performed better when it comes to attendance than most any other Major League Baseball team. So they don't have an issue when it comes to revenue there. Like not the shared revenue part. So they don't get a pass from me on that because the place is generally always full and has been win or lose.
But they do share 49% of their local revenues from generating ticket sales and things of that nature. So they do share 49% of that. I agree. They don't get a pass. And if you want to play in a big market area, you got to spend like the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies, and you have to, and they're not doing it. But I can also understand why they're not doing it. They've won how many championships over the last 15, 18 years? And so you kind of got to be happy about that. But I just want to say one more thing, Greg. Yeah. This is Madeline's dad. I met you guys at the Springfield Roadshow. You played a song for us.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That's great. Say hi to Madeline and tell her we thank her for listening to the show when she is forced to by you. I think it was on the way to school. He said on the way to school.
She was, yes. You got to go to school. Yes, all right. Thank you so much.
All right.
And Greg, I mean, I think reading up on this just quickly here, that the potential is, or the theory is, that John Henry and owners are going to be pushing for a salary cap in the next CBA. The CBA ends at the conclusion of next season, December 1st, 2026.
Yeah.
So maybe if he's in this position trying to get other owners to get in line with the salary cap, then how can he be out of there, spending money like crazy if he's the one telling everybody there's a problem?
This is wild to say, but is Robert Kraft suddenly back to being the best owner in the city of Boston currently?
I think he might be.
Now let's pump the brakes a little
bit.
Who else would you argue?
Well, I mean, Bill Chisholm hasn't done anything.
Right. He just got rid of two of your better players.
He just had a massive salary dump on a team that won a title a year ago.
Yeah, a guy who couldn't play anymore because he's either injured or sick, has the long vid, and then you got a good return for the other guy.
Yeah, KP stands for can't play.
Well, as of right now, where we stand, I think it is Kraft by default, but if you were looking at like the big picture of what it was, we probably were leaning more towards Wick, and then we were leaning a little bit more towards Henry at the beginning of the season.
It was Wick by a landslide,
right? But then it was like the Henry and them at the beginning of the season when, but they had Bregman and they had all these other guys. Now the whole Devers thing has kind of made them take about 10 steps backwards.
It's crazy though because Robert Kraft is probably at the top of the mountain right now because of the Mike Vrabel hiring, but at the same time he should probably be at the bottom because of how he treated his last coach and the decisions he made there. Very interesting how just getting rid of one guy who you kind of screwed over
if Cora gets fired, which we think is a legitimate possibility, Mazzulla is now the longest tenured Boston coach.
And the crazy thing about the Kraft situation, it really is only because of the Vrabel hire. Yeah. Because if you were to look at what they did this offseason, people are complaining.
Yeah, well,
why didn't you pay anybody?
But people, they had the pick. They had a good pick, and people are excited, I think.
Well, but that's not really on Kraft.
No, I mean, no, it's on Gerard Mayo.
Right, is it? Like,
and it's on Gerard Mayo that they didn't have the number one pick also. All right, anyway, yes.
No, I was just going to say the owner element becomes the free agency stuff and who you're paying. And if you look at it, it was another year of New England not wanting to go after DK Metcalf, not wanting to go after some of these other plays because they didn't want
to
spend.
We're happy to have the Hillman down at Patriot Place. You've been with us since the beginning.
Thank you, Robert. All right. Craig Breslow next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.